There are many forms of worship and objects of worship in the world today, but which is really right and true? According to the Bible, the book of John 4:21-24, Jesus spoke of true worshipers as he talked to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. The words true worshipers are used in Brother David Johnson's sermon today on this program from Words of Life. We are presented each week by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want to tell you about Jesus. We now worship our Lord with song. Prayer is a wonderful avenue that allows us to worship God and talk to Him. Please pray with me. Holy Father, we come before You in prayer, first thanking You for all of the blessings that are ours in Jesus. You have given us salvation to all who truly believe in Your Son Jesus. We likewise thank You for all the material things that we enjoy in this life. Bless each of our listeners with health, peace, and a life that lives for Jesus. Please also be with each one who is serving You and protect them from persecution. As always, we ask that we will be found ready for Jesus when He calls us to Himself. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Brother David Johnson will now present a sermon, True Worshipers.
It's good to be together again as we look into the Word of God, and we give God all the glory for His wonderful Word to us. The title for the lesson is True Worshipers, and our main text is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. Please listen to the Word of God. Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." This is the Word of God. May He add His blessing to the public reading of His Word. Cathedrals in France in the Middle Ages had a rather curious architecture. The exterior was sculptured and engraved with grotesque, hideous beasts and fiends. The interior, instead, was full of beauty, brightness, beckoning worshipers to enter. But why? The medieval architects designed the exteriors to represent the cold, cruel, and carnal world of brute flesh as Satan's dominion, whereas the interiors of the cathedrals represented God's sanctuary with sacredness, serenity, and security. It was designed to be a desirable place of worship toward the one true living God. Medieval cathedrals were usually in the middle of town and served as a center of public life. Cathedrals were filled with carved sculptures. Their walls were lined with paintings or stained glass windows that portrayed scenes from the Bible and the lives of the saints. These scenes in the Middle Ages made up a visual encyclopedia of medieval religious knowledge for the many worshipers who could not read or write. Many centuries before Jesus Christ taught a Samaritan woman that it is not the place, but the inner person that makes true worshipers. John chapter 4, verse 21, Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." Debates on the best places to worship the living God are fruitless. God is omnipresent, that is, everywhere as spirit. So where we are is sufficient, not superior, to worship God. Jesus even stated, "nor in Jerusalem," which is probably an allusion to Christ knowing that the temple in Jerusalem would soon be destroyed in A.D. 70. What is more difficult to interpret in this verse are Jesus' words, "a time is coming." Compare John chapter 4 and verse 23, whereby Jesus also stated, "yet a time is coming and has now come." This therefore probably points us to the event of the first coming of Christ to this earth as Savior. The Messiah had appeared, the gospel had already been proclaimed. Therefore, greater light, greater understanding was available for true worshipers to worship. God, when it comes to worship, is now much more focused on people, not places. Temples, tabernacles, mountain sites, and certain cities were the fading symbols of the past. God really desires people with proper inner hearts, minds, and wills for His worship. And this includes how we worship right now, during this time, in this worship service that we may be in, depending on the day of the week, as God's people. Of course, we usually worship on the first day of the week, but we also have worship services on Wednesday nights and perhaps, according to the tradition or the guidance of the elders or deacons where you live. Of course, understanding God, the object of our worship, is important. John chapter 4 and verse 22 says, "You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews." The Samaritans, who were people of the region of Samaria, were a mixed race, basically half Jewish and of the descendants of the colonists brought in by the king of Assyria centuries before. Therefore, their religion and worship was a mixture of Judaism and paganism. They did not have a proper knowledge of the one true living God. Therefore, it was impossible for them to worship in truth. The Jews generally did have a fuller revelation of God in the Old Testament, the 37 books from Genesis to Malachi. Therefore, the Jews knew the God they worshipped. Salvation's truth came to the Jew first, and through them to all mankind. Today, less and less people know the Bible, and therefore are in a similar predicament as the Samaritans. Without knowledge, without a proper relationship, they cannot worship in truth. So Jesus explains what is involved regarding true worshipers. John chapter 4 and verse 23. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. True worshipers of the one living God can be identified here by just a few key words. First, Father. This implies children. Here it refers to spiritual children. There is only one way to become spiritual children, adopted sons and daughters, family of God, and that is through the blood of Christ and saving faith in Him alone for salvation. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Today, true worshipers can only properly worship the Father in a saving relationship with Him through the Son of God and by the indwelling Holy Spirit. True worshipers are not propelled to worship by cathedrals nor places, not by moving music nor polished preachers. True worshipers are propelled to worship as sons and daughters of our Father with a deep desire within to bow our hearts, minds, and wills to the living God. Secondly, we worship in spirit. Here it is best to understand this meaning. True worshipers who are alive in their human spirits, that is, born again baptized believers, and therefore can worship from a consecrated heart, a consecrated mind, a consecrated will. Maturing born-again Christians actively participate in worship through prayer, song, remembrance at the Lord's table, and repentance during the Lord's table, and attention and personal application during the preaching of the Word of God. The desire to worship fully can go even beyond participation to veneration, to be in the presence of the living God. The Holy Spirit helps us in this as we yield to Him. Consider Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. That says in part, "We who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus." Thirdly, true worshipers will worship the Father in truth. That is, honestly, biblically. Only coming to the church building is not worship. That refers only of place. Truth involves really connecting, communing, celebrating the God that we worship. It's not about a routine, but it's about instead a rejoicing. Not about a rut, but instead really reaching out, reaching up to God. Not a ritual, but instead a growing personal relationship with the living God. John chapter 4 and verse 24, "God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." Since God is spirit, we cannot perceive Him by our five senses. However, this does not impede true worshipers who can worship God by genuine faith, not by sight. For example, by faith, we believe, by application, the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. "For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." We cannot see, hear, smell, touch, or taste oxygen, but we know it is all around us and sustains us. How very much more is our God, who is Spirit. We believe by faith that He is with us. Notice here in John chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus affirms his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. This is not optional. This is not occasional. Worshipers that God seeks are those who genuinely and consistently worship in spirit and truth. Worship is our outpouring of self to our Savior. Worship necessarily needs to be much more about giving than getting. If you feel you didn't get anything out of a worship service, then it's in large measure because you didn't put anything into it. True, mature worshipers don't need gimmicks to worship. Think about it this way. Isn't God Himself infinitely more than sufficient? I myself have been to St. Louis Cathedral in Jackson Square of the old French Quarter in New Orleans, Louisiana, which is a nationally registered landmark, ornate and historical. I myself have also been in St. Basil's Basilica in Red Square of the Kremlin in Moscow, Russia, which is very spacious and imposing. Today, both of these are primarily for tourists, not worshipers. They're sort of like religious museums. I've also been to a church house in a nowhere crossroads in old Mexico. Worshippers gathered on a dirt floor and sat on rough, hard benches. It certainly was not ornate, not historical, not spacious, nor imposing. It was certainly not a museum, and there weren't any tourists. True worshipers gathered there to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The place was totally insignificant. It was the people who poured themselves out to the living God that evidenced the kind of worshipers God the Father seeks. May that be the meditation of our heart, mind, and will. As we, genuine Christians, born again, baptized into Christ Jesus, continue to worship, continue to work, continue to witness here and now in spirit and in truth.
The Lord is truly worthy of worship, and it is our blessing to do this. If you are not yet a Christian, our Lord invites you to come to Him in faith and obedience. The book of Acts shows us that we need to repent of sin, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized with water baptism after we have believed. This is our great blessing from the Almighty God because He loves us. To receive a free CD of this and next week's program, simply ask for broadcast number 2011. That's 2011. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing them over and over.